no mistake, of all leading cigarettes, is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. The Morris. Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Here comes Johnny, ladies and gentlemen, to remind you, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Yes, they'd all... From Radio City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show. With Bert Helton, Jack Albertson, Mary Shipp, Billy Sands, Johnny Gibson, Al Kelly, our singing star Dick Carney, the music of Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Gallagher. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, you're dynamite tonight.
Last week, the Metropolitan Opera Company opened its gala season. We now bring you a man who, at every opening night of the opera, has always had his own box.
That's right.
He sells neckties off of it. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Gallup, I challenge that wild and ridiculous statement that you just made. I really do. Let me set the record right. And straight, I have never sold one tie in front of the Manhattan... what town is this? I have never sold one tie in front of the Metropolitan Opera House. Not one tie. That's why I switched to selling razor blades. Razor blades. Stop me if you heard that one. We're going to have fun up here. Why don't you join us? Razor blades. No brush, no lather, no rub-in, no joke, no laugh, no program. Good night. Show's over. Everybody dance. Oh, Mr. Gallup, that's how I like to start a program, right off with a flying lull. Mr. Gallup, I missed it. Were you at the opera opening night?
Was I, Frank Gallup, at the opening of the opera?
I just asked.
Burl, was Washington at Valley Forge?
Yes.
Was Napoleon at Waterloo?
But, Mr. Gallup,
was Lincoln at Gettysburg?
Were you at the opera opening night?
No.
Mr. Gallup, I don't know what I'd do without you, but I'd like to give it a try. Ah, the opera, Mr. Gallup. Madame Butterfly. The Merry Wives of Windsor. Mr. Gallup, do you know the Merry Wives of Windsor?
No, but I know a widow in Cucamonga. Oh, I do declare that was a jolly rejoinder.
Yes. That was jazzy, wasn't it? That was a peacherino. Mr. Gallup... What memories of my career in the opera?
Berle, you were in opera.
Well, of course. Ask Lawrence Tibbett. He couldn't get along without me. Remember Pagliacci, where he sang, Ridi Pagliacci.
You were with him?
With him? Who do you think tickled him? Mr. Gallup. In my prime, I sang every opera. Rigoletto, L'Abdomne Mobile, L'Abdomne Mobile.
Okay, can you sing Faust?
I didn't hear what you said.
Can you sing Faust?
I'll try. L'Abdomne Mobile, L'Abdomne
Mobile, L'Abdomne Mobile, L'Abdomne... Berle, that's Faust?
That's as Faust as I can sing. As Faust as I can sing it, old Berle. How can one man be so funny and still have to plant his mother in the audience to start the laughs? I'm sorry, Mr. Gallup. I've hogged the entire show with my dynamic material. So let's hear from you now. Do you have something to say?
No, but I know a widow in Cucamonga.
Mr. Gallup, you just told that gag. Some of the yolk is still wet on your chin. The first time you told that joke, it was nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Berle, someday that joke will be bigger than What a Blow for Princess Elizabeth.
Mr. Gallup, someday... You're going too far, you know that. And when you do, I hope you can't find your way back. I hope you can't find your way back. See? That's what you get for letting ushers write your material. But nevertheless, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we salute the opera. Grand opera. What can be more thrilling than sitting in the Met cheering Traviata, Rigoletto, Otello? Nothing unless it's sitting in the bleachers cheering DiMaggio, Rizzuto, and Lavaggetto. But let us learn a little more about the opera. First, we have
Grand Opera. Notice that Grand Opera is grand, pompous, slow, and the audience reaction to Grand Opera is this. The other type of opera is light opera. I want you to notice that light opera is light, fast, and gay. The audience reaction to light opera is this. In other words, the difference between grand opera and light opera is simply this.
Oops.
Thank you. Thank you, Toot Snore. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our belief that once you understand what is being sung, you too will love opera. And it is our pleasure tonight to have as our guest the celebrated operatic contralto, Madame Rosa Manicotti. And to interpret for you what Madame Manicotti will sing is none other than that well-known translator of opera librettos, Mr. André Finster. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Finster.
Thank you.
Mr. Finster, I understand that you will translate as... Lately does it, lady, please. My mother's timing is off tonight. I understand, Mr. Finster, that you will translate as Madame Manicotti sings excerpts from the famous opera Un Ballo in Moscar.
Yes. It is better known in this country as the legend of the gypsy Croy that we have marshaled in for Croy because there's no chance of a trade for our sound every song. It's in three acts.
In three acts, all right. Would you, Mr. Finster, would you set the scene?
Gladly.
All right.
As the curtain rises, we find ourselves in the kingdom of Stamagrobri Fate of the kind of prayer. The merry villagers run out on the stage in a holiday mood. And why not? It is Schmalman Day. They are dressed in long, flowing gotkes. And on their heads they carry baskets full of steaming trim, blicks, and moiment blades, which is very style. This is the national dish.
Oh, yes, the national dish, sure. Well, go on, Mr. Finster.
Well, at this point, Carmelita comes on the stage. She's really the Princess Marulia Blade, which is God.
Yes.
But she's disguised as a knib of a Marcia Blade because that's a famine.
Yes.
Now, this is because her sweetheart Antonio wants to croid her funny with a clap of breath. He wants to croid her funny with a clap of breath. Who doesn't? And when she sees her lover, she sings.
She sings? Go ahead, Madame Manicotti.
Bella in mascara, ma bolino la marfido bio.
Lovely, Madame Manicotti. Quick, Mr. Finster, what did she just sing?
She sang to her lover, my sweet, my heart, my carbonical 5 days. At this point, her sweetheart leaps over a trophy face of face, which is very dominant, like I said. She thinks she's got a mustache.
I see. May we have the second act, Madame Manicotti, please.
La mazzufanino nella Luigina progressivo bio.
Beautiful. Well, Mr. Finster?
Her father, King Maya Troy, did not say. He wants her to marry the old duke, and she answered, marry that old Dresden and three? Two. What do I look like, a vermin? What do you make me for, a smiley grin? I would rather Davin say, put that in your housing and grin it.
Yes, and go on.
Her father roars, are you going to marry the duke? And she answers,
no.
Well, Mr. Finster, what did she say?
She said yes.
Mr. Finster, tell us, how does the opera end?
Just as Carmelita is about to marry the Duke,
yes.
Antonio the beggar throws off his rags and says, look, I am not Antonio the beggar. I am Fidel the feeder home. And as they ride into the sunset, the old king shakes his fist and says, what a blow for Princess Nahayek right now.
Thank you. you, Hossie and Harriet.
Thank you.
Memphis, Tennessee, Buffalo, New York, Denver, Colorado, Portland, Oregon. Yes, from all over the country there's news, big news. Listen.
From section after section, eminent nose and throat specialists report that in cases of irritation due to smoking, they suggest change to Philip Morris.
Yes, these top-ranking nose and throat specialists actually suggest Philip Morris because they know Philip Morris is the one, the only leading cigarette proved definitely less irritating.
Remember, the cigarette that gives you the least irritation is the cigarette that gives you the most enjoyment. After all, it's pleasure, deep, rich pleasure that counts in smoking. And the full measure of smoking pleasure is yours to enjoy day in, day out in Philip Morris. That's why we say, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
It's over?
Thank you.
Very quick. Flash Gordon made that arrangement.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Brahms' Hungarian Dance, played by Ray Block. That was only the first course. Played by Ray Block and the Philip Morris Orchestra. And Ray, you are really wonderful. I can honestly call you the Gustav Henschen of tomorrow. I might also say you are the Harry Hawlick of yesterday. Believe me, anything is better than the Ray Block of today. That was Burl of 4 years ago, low state. Thank you. And now, as we continue our salute to the great music, we present...
Music Forum tonight. Music Forum tonight. The question. Should we find another Carmen Lombardo, or should we throw away the one we have?
He knows a widow in Cucamonga. Let's get right to the questions from the audience with our forum. Let's start with this gentleman in the aisle toasting marshmallows. Yes, sir?
Mr. Burl, have you ever made any phonograph records?
Why, yes, I've made many records.
You have?
Yes.
Now, I know I did the right thing. I'm glad I did it.
Who are you?
Petrillo.
Thank you. That's a local joke. Local 802. But let us go on. All right, this young man here with his head caught in the cuspidor. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Lucy Monroe.
Lucy Monroe?
Don't confuse me with the one that sings at ball games.
Oh, no, I won't.
I only took the name because I love America.
I see. What's your real name?
Patrick Henry.
All right, Pat, you have a question concerning music?
Yeah, but you don't think I'm going to ask you for advice, do you? What, are you an authority on music all of a sudden?
No, but...
I heard you sing already, and take it from me, you're a big nothing.
Now, look,
you got a voice that's flatter than the top of your head.
If you'll just...
I've heard better sounds coming out of a pair of new shoes.
But you don't...
I've heard nicer music coming out of a vacuum cleaner, a broken boiler, a dying chicken.
Please, I'm...
Ah, your father's pitch pipe.
Please. We must control ourselves. Let us get on to the women now. All right, this young lady in third row sewing up the stuffed turkey neck. Young... What is your name, please?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
I see. And you have a question that has to do with music?
Yeah. How can I stop my husband from taking up all them corny instruments? He's ickier than a box of wet duds.
Your husband studies musical instruments?
He tried to take up the violin, but for that fathead, it was too confusing.
The violin was too confusing?
He didn't know which chin to rest it on.
I see.
He didn't have any luck with the cello, either.
He couldn't play the cello?
Yeah, he's so bow-legged, it kept slipping through his legs.
He should have used a big bass fiddle.
That was too big. It gave him saddle sores.
I understand.
He finally took up the bugle. The way he blows that bugle's amazing.
What's amazing about blowing a bugle?
With his nose.
Oh, that's different.
He took up the trumpet, but he had a terrible accident.
What happened?
He inhaled, and the trumpet got stuck in his throat.
The trumpet stuck in his throat?
Yeah, every time he hiccuped, he sounded like Harry James.
But you did get the trumpet out.
Yeah, but he can't play it no more. He swallowed the valve.
He swallowed the valve?
Yeah, now when he feels like playing the trumpet, he starts fingering his stomach.
Thank you, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you very much. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Ladies and gentlemen, as the climax of our musical forum tonight, we are very honored to have none other than that great American opera star whose powerful, thundering bass voice is world famous, the one and only Tito Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. May I take this golden opportunity to thank my many admirers, bouquets of flowers from all over the United States, so wherever I sing, I smile.
Well, tell us, Tito.
Excuse me, Mr. Burrow.
Yes?
Do you mind if I sit down? Oh. I'm pooped.
You're pooped? Huh? You're tired?
On the way here, I picked a string off the sidewalk. I think I...
Mr. Featherfield, a string isn't heavy.
Well, this one had nuts in it.
Oh, well, that's different. Tito, it's amazing. You look so fragile, and yet you have such a magnificent voice.
Isn't it the truth, though?
Yeah.
Second, Lawrence Melchior.
I see. What made them stop?
Lawrence Melchior.
Understand that when you sing, your faithful wife is always at your side.
Yes, it's gruesome, isn't it? My wife and I do a wonderful scene together in the Barber of Seville. I sing as I'm shaving.
I see. What does your wife do? I see.
Last week we were... It was a big bullfight scene. I was the bullfighter.
Mm-hmm.
The bull.
The bull. Wait a minute. You were the bullfighter and your wife was the bull? What a bullfight that must have been.
Yes, Mr. Biff Carmen, that the bull won.
Well, tell us, has your wife got a strong voice, too?
Strong.
Has it?
Caruso, with one blast of his powerful lungs, could shatter a glass.
Yes, I do. I remember that.
My wife, driver and all.
Well, let's get back to music, Mr. Featherfield. Is it true that music can stir up human passions?
There's one song, Grab a Gun and the Wedding March.
Thank you, Mr. Featherfield. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, here's our young singing star, Dick Fonney, to sing...
How much I love you. Means more to me than you do. Take December and smile it into May. And then December, when you're away, has a chance that's very good. Who makes life necessary? You do. And who can take my dreams and make my dreams come true? Don't give me free guesses, one will do. And who can take my dreams and make my dreams come true? Don't give me brief guesses, one will do.
Come on, take a bow. Dick Fonney.
Thank you.
Wonderful, Dick. I want to tell you, you know, when Dick Fonney sings, it sounds like it's coming from the stage of Tristan and Isolde. Because when I sing, it sounds like it's from the basement of Hammacher and Schlemmer. For the out-of-town listeners, that's a hardware store in New York. This program may not be funny, but by gum, at least you're knowing to know what's going... What did you walk in when I didn't finish? You walked in at the wrong time. Did you notice how he detracted walking up to this microphone? For a minute, I didn't know which was the mic. Well, what is it you want?
I'm waiting.
You're waiting? I wish you'd have waited 2 seconds longer. You might have gotten a laugh.
I am waiting for you to explain to the musical world why I, Frank Gallup, was not at the opening of the opera this year, thanks to you.
very dramatic tonight, huh?
All right, I was going to tail this, but I will. We have about 5 minutes left, and who wants to listen to Ray Block?
I do.
And you do. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you the reason why you weren't at the yard. I wasn't with you. Who was going? Oh, both of you. You know, it'd be funny if this is an audition and I don't know it. Last week, Mr. Gallup, for the first time, ladies and gentlemen, he invited me and my wife to the opening of the Metropolitan Opera. And that night, we were having Mr. Gallup and his wife over for dinner at our house. And as we were waiting for the Gallups, I'll never forget. Gee, imagine going to the opera with the Gallups. Quick, dear. Look, does my tuxedo look good on me?
Yes, Milton. Just remember to keep your hand out of your coat pocket.
Oh, I will.
One squeeze of that bulb in there and your shirt lights up. Call for Philip Morris.
I know. I disconnected the batteries. Now, remember, dear, the Gallups are very ritzy. Very Park Avenue. This is the first time they've ever been in Jackson Heights. They'll probably bring camping equipment. Oh, that's the Gallops. Now, quick, is my tie on straight?
Yes, but your head isn't.
Oh, that's good. That's funny. Coming. Well, well, Mr. and Mrs. Gallop, come right in.
Thank you, Burl. Where shall I,
Oh, yeah, here, I'll take the sleeping bags. There.
My dear, this is Milton Berle, the man I've been telling you about.
How do you do, Mrs. Gallup?
Amazing.
Amazing?
Only one head.
Mrs. Gallup, this is my wife, Mrs. Milton Berle.
How do you do, Mrs. Gallup?
Oh, you poor thing.
Well, here we are, aren't we?
Yes. And we're all in it together.
Well. Dinner will be ready soon. Mrs. Gallup, can I get you a drink?
Please, don't bother going out to the still just for me.
Well. Hey, Mr. Gallup, I want to tell you some of the jokes that I have for next week's program.
Please, Burl, not in front of the ladies.
Oh, I see. If you women will excuse us...
Of course. Come, my dear. Let us adjourn to the dining room and stare at each other.
Well. Mr. Gallup, your wife is a very, very lovely woman.
Well, thank you. Of course, once you get to know her, she's really quite a bore.
Well, as long as you love her.
Burl, don't get vulgar.
I'm sorry. Now, for next Tuesday's show,
Me, Burl, but hadn't you better dress for the opera? We won't have time later.
Dress? I am dressed. I'm wearing this tuxedo.
That tuxedo?
Yes.
Burl, that looks like something Barney unloaded on Simon Ackerman.
But, Mr. Gallup, I don't own a full-dress suit like yours.
Sorry, Burl. In that suit, you'll disgrace me. It's all off. I'll just call my wife and we'll leave.
Una? Una? Mr. Gallup, going to the opera in your company means a lot to me.
Obviously.
Yeah. Una? Well, I just remembered there's a place on 10th Avenue, the Owl Clothing Company. They're open all night.
The Owl Clothing?
Yeah, I'll rush right over there. You go ahead and eat without me. I'll get a full-dress suit and meet you in front of the Opera House. Oh, boy. What a neighborhood. Well, here's the place. Owl Clothers. We never sleep. I'll go in. Boy, it's dark in here.
Pardon me, friend. Did you come in here for some high-grade classy-wearing apparel?
No, I just came in here to get a picture of Vincent Lopez tattooed on my chest. Now, look, I'm in a hurry. I want a full-dress suit.
You going to make a purchase or just looking around?
Oh, no, I'm buying.
Good, then I'll turn on the light. Hello, Mr. Gogo.
Yes?
Is the door locked?
It's locked.
Okay, help the man off with his clothes.
Now, wait a minute. Hey, let's
go. We're putting the new suit right on. You're in a hurry, you said?
Yeah, but be careful with that tuxedo. You'll short-circuit the shirt. Boy, it's cold standing here in just my shorts. Now, I would like a full-dress suit.
Shut up!
Yeah.
Now, I got a suit here that's meant just for you.
A full dress?
A genuine Hungarian goat herder's outfit.
Hungarian goat... Look, I want a full...
Shut up!
Yeah.
Just feel that material. Beaver lapels like these, they don't make anymore.
No, you don't understand. Look, I'm going to an opera, not Queen for a day. Show me something else.
I can't. We ain't got anything else.
You have nothing but Hungarian goat herders' outfits?
It's a job lot. I got them off a road company of Blossom Time that got lost in Jersey.
Now, look, I've had enough from you. I'm getting out of here right now.
Going somewhere, friend?
Yes, I'm gone. Where's Mr. Google in my old suit?
Google?
Yes.
Who's Google?
Who's good? You're kidding. You're kidding, aren't you? Now, please. You're just my pants. Mr. Gallup is waiting for...
Shut up! Yeah. Tell you what I'll do. Buy this Hungarian goat herder's outfit and free of charge, I'll have the hem lowered.
Now, please, give me the suit.
This week, with every goat herder's outfit, we're given a bottle of Airwick.
Give me the suit.
In this outfit, you'll be the talk of the stockyard.
Give me the suit.
Get a load of the lining. Genuine simulated cardboard.
Give me the suit.
And for only $100.
Give me the suit.
All right, 50. But that's almost final.
Give it.
But look, now look. It's 9 o'clock. Now listen, you. Get my tuxedo or I'll report you to the police. The Better Business Bureau. I'll even go higher and take a direct to Charlie Luckman.
Okay. Go into the dressing room. I'll bring your suit.
Well, that's better. Where's the dressing room?
That door right there.
Okay, in a hurry. This door?
Yes.
Wait a minute. I'm out on the street. Open the door. Open up. I'll freeze to death. I'll go around the front. Oops. Pardon me, lady. Ah! Let me back in.
The overture is starting. Keep moving.
Oh, this is outrageous. We cannot wait any longer.
But I'm sure... Oh, here he comes.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gallup. I'll explain later. Let's go in.
Milton, what have you got on?
Bill, what is that atrocity?
It's a Hungarian goat herder's outfit. Feel those beaver lapels.
Why didn't you go to the owl clothiers like you said you would?
I was there, but this is all they had.
Oh, ridiculous. I was there looking for you 15 minutes ago. And what bargains. They sold me this suit. Look.
A tuxedo.
Oh, and that's not all. Look, the shirt lights up and says, call for Philip Morris.
Give me the suit. Give me the suit.
Remember this. You're twice as sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. And here's why. First, you enjoy the pleasure of smoking the world's finest premium tobaccos, mellow and mild and superbly blended. And second, you enjoy the extra pleasure of smoking the one, the only leading cigarette recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. Yes, you're twice as sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. So next time you call for cigarettes, call for Philip Morris, made in America by Americans to please American taste.
Thank you very much. We're a little late, folks. Good night, everyone. Good night.
I'll be waiting for you. Come in and call for Philip Morris.
Yes, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
Call for Philip Morris.
Hello,
testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's it, 5. Pipe smokers try Revelation Pipe Tobacco, a smooth blend of 5 tobaccos. Yes, relax, take 5, take Revelation, a fine pipe tobacco. Take care of tomorrow today, the easy automatic way, and that's part of your weekly salary in the United States Savings Bond, the safest, most...
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.